Hello, you are listening to A Little Too Quiet. It's the Ferndale Library Podcast, and it's brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. My name is Jeff Milo, and joining me on the podcast today, very esteemed artist, Boisali Biswas, a studio artist who works in mixed media fibers, who has decades of experience, very celebrated, acclaimed artist who's been showing around Michigan for a long time, and we're very honored to have her works, to have had her works featured here in our library for a second time. And we're here to talk about Boisali Biswas' new show coming up in Flint. I'd like to introduce her. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jeff, for inviting me, and thank you to the Ferndale Library for giving me this opportunity to show with you guys. It's been a real pleasure showing my work there. So
terrific. I wanted to start there. If you could tell listeners just about the medium of fiber art and how you got into that.
I have been primarily a fiber artist all my life, and I started off a little bit of weaving when I did my undergraduate studies in India, and I got introduced to a lot of fiber techniques over there, and that was many years back. So after I came here, I did my master's and got introduced to more techniques and processes, which is very important in a fiber medium, because it's by fiber art, we mean textile art. And for me, what has happened is I loved weaving, and I loved manipulating fabrics too. So it became kind of a mixed media fiber art for me. It's not purely weaving, or it's not purely fibers. So I started combining the two, both of them. Like, I love playing with fabrics. I have a lot of fabrics. I'm coming from India. I have a lot of fibers, fabrics in my stock too. So it's been like over 3 decades that I'm in this country now. So I have been playing with my materials from India and over here too. And what has happened in spite of being here for more than 30 years is I'm very much at heart, I'm an Indian still. So my soul kind of lives half the time in India, I think. So India inspires my work a whole lot in content and materials. Mm-hmm. So that's where it started. And then after I came here and when I did my master's, I got introduced to screen printing and all kinds of, we call it surface design in textiles, which is mainly manipulating fabrics in very different techniques, all kinds of ways. You can just take a white fabric and then convert it into all kinds of things with images and taking off dyes and dyeing and printing and whatnot. So that opened up a whole new avenue for me. And what I started doing was combining my weaving and surface design. And that's pretty much what I have at the library. I love to play with materials. I love painting on paper. I love painting too. Since I had a fine arts background, I love painting too. And so I missed that part of it. And then that led me to painting and thinking how I can combine my painting with my weaving. And medium, so-called painted weaving, basically originated from there. I started painting on all kinds of textured paper, cutting it up and using it in my weaving, which is a lot I have at the library. And people can see on my website too. It's called Painted Weaving. And I have a lot of work on that. And it has evolved over the years, where I started and where I am now. With the painted weaving, even that has evolved. I use much finer yarns. And the painting has also evolved, which took me a while to master because of all the textures I was using. Right now, I have been like for the last 4 or 5 years, I have been experimenting with translucent weaving, which is basically you can see through the fabrics. And when there is proper lighting, I'm not only using translucent weaving, but I'm doing inlay on those, which produces opaque areas in the weaving. And so with proper lighting, shadows cast on the wall. So with those pieces, primarily, I'm having my current solo show at the Buckham Gallery in Flint. It's a very immersive installation, very intimate and immersive installation, which is called Bonded Through Threaded Memories, which take me back to my childhood and my growing up in India. And I have included poems, excerpts of poems from friends and my writing too in the exhibit. So that is all part of the exhibit. And I'd really appreciate if people can really go up there and see the show. It's something that I've never done before. It's a very immersive experience to see that show. And that's a very new thing for me, of course. And they're very narrative. The whole, my work has always been narrative, to put it that way. So now it's got, I think, more narrative because I have brought all these memories and recollections into my work. But all this time, India has always been a part of my work, whether it is real life India, like my growing up or my home back there, or sometimes it has been the motifs in Indian textiles, because Indian textiles is very rich. And there are a million different types of textiles from India. And I'm, of course, influenced by those, inspired by the technique and the colors and everything. So people see a lot of colors in my work. And I think it just came naturally. I didn't have to put any effort, because growing up in India, you're just surrounded by colors. People love to wear colors. The clothes we wear, everything is very bright, and it just comes naturally. So that came very naturally to me, the colors. And that has always been a big part of my work. I love to work with vivid colors. And the main thing about my practice is I love playing with materials. Like, I have some little sculptures at the library now, which is very recent. And I got really intrigued while working with those, because I had collected some wood on my walks to the woods, and they were just laying around the house. And I thought I'll just play with those and combine with some scraps of weaving. So I combined my weavings and my fibers with those and started working on little sculptures, which I'm really intrigued by. And I think that will take me some ways now. That's a new direction for me. And another important aspect of my work is I love to upcycle throwaway objects. I have almost stopped buying materials for my work for many years now. As artists, I think we hoard a lot of stuff and just don't throw away stuff. And my studio happens to be a storehouse of that. So I have a lot of stuff, which when I look at it, I feel, oh, I can weave. Like simple things like fruit netting bags, the onions we buy in those orange bags and the purple bags. I save all of those and I weave with those.
Wow.
So that kind of is upcycling. At the same time, I don't want them to go into the garbage. Not good for the environment. So that's something I'm always conscious of, and try to upcycle stuff. And that is very important to me. I upcycle old fabrics, old wearables, salvaged yarns. I don't throw away, and even my loom wastes, I use them in some way or the other. So that's one very important aspect of my work. I love to upcycle stuff, and I rarely buy new materials anymore. I just feel like I have a lot of fabrics that I can't use in my whole lifetime, or yarns even. So whatever project or whatever composition I envision, and I try to conceive around what materials I already have, and not something that I have to go out and buy. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, I buy things like when I run out of paints, I have to go and buy those. But as far as fiber materials, I try to use whatever I have in my studio.
I was wondering if you could just tell folks also just a little bit more about your earlier years and some of your earliest works of art and maybe just some of your formative years. I know you had a very formative experience when you went to school. You had a very formative mentor. Could you just tell us more about that and just some of your earliest experiences in art?
Yeah. I was very fortunate to go to a school for my undergraduate, which was founded by Rabindranath Tagore. He was a very well-known philosopher, poet, writer, Nobel laureate from India. And I was very fortunate to come from that area. Like I speak the same language as he wrote his literature in. So he founded this unique university in the suburbs of Calcutta, the bigger city, not suburbs, quite a distance away and kind of in a rural setting. And it was a very unique university. And I'm just ever grateful to go there because I spent 5 years and it changed my life forever. Because it was a way of life, I think. The university, the studies over there, it was a way of life. It was not just education, but it was nature was part of our life. And we celebrated nature. We had classes outside in nature. We celebrated the seasons. We celebrated people if they accomplished something with songs and dances and everything. So dancing and art and literature and poetry reading, everything was just part of our life over there for 5 years. That really had a big influence on my work and on my life too, actually. So that has always remained in my radar. Like that inspires me every day, like not only the way of life, even how I dress, the way I work and everything. So it still comes into my work, even that's a big inspiration too. It's a very rich experience coming from India, like not only on top of just coming from India, going to that university, like anyone who comes from that area, when they hear that I went to that school, they're like, oh, you were really lucky to go there. So it was a very enriching experience for me. So that played a big role in my art.
And I was curious to hear about the element of patience that's required in your practice and maybe just
patience.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe just how long it takes you to make a piece. Is there like an average time that it takes?
Yeah, that's a very difficult question to answer. And often people ask me, how long does it take to make one of these pieces? It's the most difficult answer because I don't have any time frame. And I keep on working on a piece till I'm satisfied with it. So the same medium, same size of work, one might take 10 hours, one might take 20 hours. Mm-hmm. So patience is something that I don't even notice now. It's like maybe other people notice in my work, like, oh, this needs a lot of patience. But to me, I don't think I notice even. Mm-hmm. Like some other mediums, when I look at it, I'm like, oh my goodness, this needs a lot of patience. And I don't realize how much patience I need in my work mm-hmm. too. And doing it over the years is just a very natural thing that comes to me. And as I said, like it takes forever. Like even this solo exhibit that I'm having, I used a lot of my older pieces. I didn't create everything new for that exhibit, but I added layers to it.
Oh, interesting.
Without changing my previous work or doing anything to the older work, but I added very translucent layers to it, which added another dimension to the work. And that is completely new to me. I don't know how it looks or how people are going to see it, but I'm really looking forward to hearing from people what they think about that. Mm-hmm. Because the whole show is about layers, basically. Believe it or not, I create one. There's only one new work that it's completely new. The rest are all like I have changed my older work in ways. adding layers, adding components, adding small parts to it and making it completely different. And that's the beauty of this medium, I think. You can take an older work and completely transform it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done that so many times. You know, we as artists, after a few years, we don't like our older work and we are like, oh, this looks so weak to me. It's not as strong. And believe it or not, I have taken apart those kind of work and transformed it completely, which you would not even believe. And it just is such a strong work to me now. And I have even sold some of those pieces, which was very surprising that people really like those pieces. The ones which were sitting like in stash in the corner in my studio for years. Like, I've taken work from 20 years back and transformed them completely.
Incredible. You can't necessarily do that when it's just acrylic on canvas because the paint dries.
Yeah, you have to paint over it, right? That's all you can do. You can take a canvas and paint over it.
Yeah.
But my work, I'm leaving the old and adding things to it and transforming it completely. So it is very interesting. That's why I think I love the medium so much.
It's a very tactile medium.
Very tactile, very tactile.
And just full of life and just warm and colorful and celebrating life and nature and all this stuff, but also your memory. There's just multitudes to your whole body of work.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us more about some of the pieces that are going to be featured at the Flint show?
I have kind of two groups of work in that show, which are related to each other. That's why I included them. It's called Bounded Through Threaded Memories. And I don't know if you have followed my work for the last few years, but maybe I'm saying like 10, 12 years if I go back. Clothesline is a very important icon in my work. And it has come into my work in many ways. And it has been kind of a metaphor and icon in my work for many years in many different ways. And during COVID, what happened was I wasn't able to go back to India and visit my mom. And, you know, how you were anxious about the country and what's going on, about the uncertainty and all that. So all the time, more, I think it became more like thinking about my country, and it was always at the back of my head. And my parents lived on a fourth floor in a fourth floor building, and we have these high rises in India. And whenever I think of my parents' home, I envision that balcony, and standing on that balcony, you can see clotheslines all over. People don't use dryers over there. Because we have the sun, it's such a warm climate. So it's just natural that we see clotheslines all over. So whenever I was to think of India, I could envision these clotheslines, which was like thing of the past over here also. After I started doing them, many people mentioned that, oh, you took me back to my childhood. And I guess over here also people used clothesline many years back. But anyway, that became a very important icon in my work. And it started coming into my work more and more until I did a triptych. A friend, he collaborated with me. He wrote a poem about it, how we can bind women of the world by a simple clothesline. Because we have traveled so much to countries. We have been to Italy, Mexico, Poland, everywhere we have seen people using clotheslines. So it takes you back to your moms and your grandmothers about nurturing and about how civilizations have been nurtured. And it just became more and more kind of intriguing to me that we can bind the whole civilization through just a simple clothesline. And that's exactly what my friend did in his poem, actually. And it was kind of a collaborative project. I did three pieces. It was a triptych, and he wrote the poem. And my triptych was, one was kind of a scene from Mexico, one was from Greece, and one was from Italy. And these were the favorite countries that I visited, and I could find a lot of similarity with my country and these countries. So I felt a connection, a deep connection. So that's where that project originated. And I showed it in a few places, that triptych, in different ways. Then I separated the pieces and showed it without the clothesline too. For my last year, I had a residency at Bay City, and I had to do a solo show over there. And I showed two pieces differently, not with the clotheslines. So that, the name of that poem was Bonded Through Threaded Memories. So when I'm doing the show at Flint, I named it the title of that poem. But I'm not using the triptych like I did originally. I'm using the pieces, and I added layers to them. And I have a wall with these different countries and how I feel connected to those countries. Like the culture and the people, some way or the other, I think I feel a deep connection to these countries and myself and my upbringing and everything. So that I have a grouping of those countries in one section. And then I have some works which are related to my hometown. Like anyone who was brought up in my hometown, if they see that show, they'll immediately be transported there because of all those elements and things that are there in the show. And this friend of mine, he continuously writes poems. So I took little excerpts of his poems and I hand wrote them on fabric. And I included them in the show. Mm-hmm. So the poems, and another friend of mine, a girl from Ontario, she also writes beautiful reminiscing poems. So I took some excerpts from her poems too, and I wrote them on fabric, and they're parts of a clothesline in the show. Mm. So it's all very immersive. I wrote my statement on a very translucent light fabric. It's on the wall. So you have to read everything. It's an experience kind of seeing that show, I think.
I think it's powerful that someone who's from your hometown could come and see that piece and have memories and nostalgia activated from the piece that you've created.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have four pieces of that kind of very complex pieces. Like you can see reflection of a tree on a multi-storied building, exactly what you see over there. Then you see street dogs, crows all over, clotheslines and people standing on balconies and clothes. So it's a very, anyone from India, I think they'll be transported to their bringing up and growing up in India.
Yeah. That's what's so beautiful also about your body of work. You said you threaded the bond, the weaving.
Yeah.
People from all over the world can be connected through your art.
Through threads and through weaving. It's basically weaving stories from different parts of the world into one melding pot. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Now, we had an exhibition of your work here at the library. We had a talk, and I asked you this question there for a small audience. I'd love to just ask it again for podcast listeners, but could you just talk about what it is that you find most fulfilling or enjoy most, I guess, about working on a piece of art, any art that you do?
The process.
Yeah.
And the practice and my practice. It's like I think like subconsciously a majority of my mind revolves around my art. Like anything I see, oh, this can be included in my art, and oh, how can I transform this into my weaving? Mm-hmm. So it's a constant process and way of life, I think, mm-hmm. for me. So I enjoy the whole process. It's my life is without art is not me. Like it's, I get up in the morning and I'm thinking like, oh, I I have to do this today, or I wanted to do that yesterday, now let's get to it. Or sometimes even in my sleep, in my dream, in my subconscious mind, I get ideas. And sometimes I write them down, sometimes I don't, and I forget a lot of them, but they come back in different ways. So it's the whole process, I think, of art making for me. It's a very involved process. My whole technique is very involved. I cannot separate it from my life. And that's the beauty of it.
And I was just curious to wonder, or to ask, if there might be artists themselves who are listening to this episode of the podcast. Have you ever had other artists come up to you yet, maybe ask for advice? Do you have advice that you like to give to artists who are just starting out?
Oh, absolutely. I invite people for studio visits all the time. Yeah. Young and old, or whoever, like friends, anyone who would like to come for a studio visit, they are more than welcome, especially in summer. I invite people, like some I know, some I don't. I just tell everybody, bring your friends and we can just have a potluck and just sit outside and chat and talk about art. That's all. Yeah, I think we inspire each other, all of us. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all of us have advices for everybody. We learn from each other. So, yeah, I love to do that anytime.
And then before we wrap up, could you just remind listeners just the details about the show that's just started and the reception at the Flint Studio? Or the
yeah,
Flint Gallery.
It's the Buckham Gallery. Buckham, Buckham Gallery at Flint. The show starts this Friday, that's tomorrow, and it goes until May 4th. And the artist reception coincides with the Flint Art Walk, which is next Friday, the April 12th, from 6 to 9 p.m. And the gallery hours are Wednesday to Friday, 11 to 5, and Saturday they are open from 12 to 5.
Terrific.
So you can stop by anytime during those hours and see the shows. They have two wonderful juried shows in the galleries. One is with sculptures and one is metaphysic. And I just got a preview of some of the pieces when I was installing, and they're beautiful pieces. So you just love to go and see the three shows over there.
Terrific.
And the art walk is a good thing going on in Flint on second Friday of every month. And you can go to the Flint Art Institute, the Motwash Gallery, which is a real treasure of the city. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to have all those details in the show notes of this episode, and you'll find it on the website for our podcast, of course.
And also people can visit my website, that is boisalibiswas.com. And I try to update things over there, and people can always shoot me with questions and whatever. I have a contact box over there. So if they have any questions, and if anyone wants to come for a studio visit, they're more than welcome, because I have three looms at home. I have a printing table, and I have taken over the whole house almost, converted into my studio or gallery or photographing space or whatever.
Marvelous.
So people are more than welcome to come for a studio visit.
Marvelous. Well, I thank you for the opportunity to show works here in our library here at the Ferndale Library. I thank you for joining us on the podcast as well. And I look forward to the new show. And again, the listeners of the podcast will have information in our show notes. And I just have to say thank you for joining us, Boisali Biswas. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you so much for inviting me and doing this podcast. It was a pleasure talking.
Folks at home, thanks for listening to another episode of A Little Too Quiet. It is the Ferndale Library Podcast, and it's brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. You can find more information about supporting the podcast at ferndalefriends.org. We'll, of course, be back next week with more. Thank you for listening.